Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know, with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Tuesday, January 30th, 2018. Very interesting news broke late yesterday. Well, I guess technically you'd put this in the category of rumor or wild speculation. Nonetheless, it has fueled a lot of stories on the web and even a change in some stock prices. What's going on? Let me explain. An article on Polygon about Microsoft and the Xbox strategy going forward with regard to first-party exclusives mentioned that Microsoft, sitting on a whole bucket load of cash reserves to the tune of $130 billion, is potentially interested in acquiring some studios to bolster its first-party lineup. This is not something that Microsoft hasn't done before. They certainly have acquired many studios, Lionhead and Rare and Mojang. But the speculation here is a little more ambitious than any of that. Polygon says that Microsoft may be interested in acquiring Electronic Arts, EA, the big software giant that publishes Madden and FIFA and Star Wars games. And that would be a huge coup if Microsoft folded them into the Xbox brand and made them first-party exclusive publishers. Now, the market cap for EA is about $32 billion, so it would kind of be a trivial acquisition for a company sitting on $130 billion. And you can imagine that this would be a very smart move, especially when coupled with Microsoft's news about the Game Pass service, where first-party exclusive titles are now going to be day and date with Game Pass. I've covered extensively over the last couple of weeks. The idea that there would be a much larger library of these first-party exclusive titles certainly seems to be a smart move, especially if you're trying to sell Game Pass subscriptions. And it doesn't take a genius to look at what Sony is doing on the first-party side and see that it is certainly helping them win the console race this generation with a very, very robust library of first-party games that are winning awards and are at the top of many gamers' must-play lists. Games like Uncharted and Days Gone and Spider-Man and God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn. The list goes on and on and on. Sony is doing a great job at differentiating their console with these great first-party titles. And of course, Nintendo does that as well. Mario and Zelda, I mean, Nintendo makes its bread and butter from first-party games. They certainly do not rely on third-party publishers to create games for Nintendo consoles and haven't done for many generations. So what is Microsoft doing? It certainly seems like a no-brainer strategy, and they've got your Sea of Thieves and your State of Decay 2 and your Crackdown 3. But the list is pretty thin and pretty paltry. Certainly Halo and God of War and Forza are at the top of those franchise lists. But having a bigger stable of exclusive first-party titles would behoove Xbox. And this is exactly the case that is made in this Polygon article, which I should note is written by Colin Campbell. And the speculation is that Microsoft might be shopping around looking for a big established studio to purchase. EA, of course, being at the top of that list, but the article also mentions possibly Valve, which I think would be a real coup. I don't expect that one to happen. I don't know how likely either of these are to happen, or any of these are to happen, but certainly Colin seems to have an unnamed source within Microsoft who says that this idea is on the table and is a possibility, which actually had a big enough footprint to move the markets. Microsoft's stock fell and EA's stock rose on these rumors. I'm wondering what you guys think. Would you want EA to become an Xbox first party? certainly would bolster the value of Xbox Game Pass even further. I'm assuming if you're a PlayStation gamer, you don't want to lose out on the ability to play FIFAs and Maddens and Star Warses, etc. But it certainly would be a dramatic shift in the power structure of the big publishers. I think ultimately having competition among the big platform holders is a good thing for consumers, and I'd certainly like to see Microsoft get more in the game here, but it remains to be seen what they do. Speaking of Microsoft and Microsoft's Game Pass service, more fallout from that decision, an interesting article from gamesindustry.biz talking about how European retailers are responding to the news that Game Pass will include day and date big release games the same time that they're available in stores. One quote from this article says, "If they're going to do this, I won't bother stocking Xbox. You only make $3 or $4 on Xbox games like the new Monster Hunter if you're lucky. They'll kill the secondhand market. I reckon even the public won't like it in the end." Interesting perspective from retailers. It's hard not to look at this and compare it to Netflix moving in on the home video market. Of course, that led to the decline and ultimate demise of Blockbuster Video as a chain of stores, and really the video store as a concept in general. But would you argue that your life is not better off with the Netflix model over the Blockbuster model? It's hard to argue that, right? You get the convenience of being able to stay at home and browse through a whole bunch of titles to rent and watch. You don't usually pay the same kind of exorbitant prices that you might renting movies in an ad hoc basis. Certainly that's still possible with the iTunes model and others. Amazon lets you rent individual titles at the same general prices that you would find at the old video store chains. But with the Netflix model, you're paying one low monthly fee and getting a whole giant library of titles to choose from. And that really drove those brick-and-mortar places out of business. That certainly seems to be the fear from these brick-and-mortar purveyors of video games, that this model will drive them out of business. But while I have sympathy for that perspective and for those small business owners, as a consumer, it certainly seems like a better deal for me. I'm saving money. I'm not having to go out to the store to pick up my next $60 purchase. This does introduce a whole bunch of interesting ramifications for developers, where in a situation akin to Spotify that has really lowered the amount of revenue that artists can expect from getting their work onto streaming services. So from that perspective, $9.99 a month for a whole bunch of games means a smaller pie gets smaller pieces selected for all of its participants. So if you're a smaller publisher, an indie publisher, and you want your game as one of Xbox's Game Pass games, I'm sure you're not going to get the same chunk of the pie that a big splashy AAA title might. So that's problematic as well. But it certainly seems like the video game industry is going to have to reckon with all of these ramifications, just as the music industry did and the movie industry has as well. And it's hard for me not to look at it and think it's good for the consumer. I'm curious what you think. Let me know. You can send a call in using that Anchor app. I'd love to hear your perspective. I raved on yesterday's newest, latest, best about my time spent playing Monster Hunter World so far. I'm still plugging away at those monsters, trying to upgrade my gear and take down bigger and bigger game in the game. And it looks like a lot of people all around the world are doing the same. Monster Hunter has officially shipped 5 million units worldwide in its first 3 days on sale. Woo! That's some good numbers for Capcom. They announced the 5 million figure today, a big, big success for Monster Hunter in the West, where it is not as popular as it has been historically in Japan. But 5 million is a big number. However, Capcom did also include digital sales, which is something that you don't usually see with a number like this. When they say shipped, they usually mean units to stores for customers to buy. So this isn't even purchased units from individual customers. And to include the digital sales is a bit skewing, but certainly representative of people that are downloading and playing the game. Either way, a very impressive number for Monster Hunter World and very encouraging for the franchise going forward. This really was the initiative to bring the Monster Hunter franchise to a much wider audience. And it looks like that has worked. Certainly has included this new player in the Monster Hunter universe. I'm hooked. It's really good.